mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. Yes, so you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place, cleansed me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sin, and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, so that sinners will turn back to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God. You who are God, my Savior, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Open my lips, O Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I will bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You, God, will not despise. May it please you to prosper Zion, to build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in the sacrifices of the righteous, in burnt offerings. Offer whole. Then bulls will be offered on the altar.
Amen. Amen.
That was the word of God for the people of God.
Amen.
May the Lord add a blessing to his read word.
Amen.
And now we have our prayer from Minister Seward.
Even though the people are saying that it's open the
things are still closed, Lord. We just know that you are right here with us.
Yes.
So God, we just continue to thank you, and we just going to continue to give you praise, Lord.
Yes.
Father God, we cannot do this, but we know that you are a good God.
Yes.
And we just lift our hands to you, Lord. So Father God, be with everybody in the church, Lord,
yes,
even in their home, Lord. They're not here right now. But God, we know that you are here with us.
Yes.
So God, continue to fill us up with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen.
Amen.
I
Love me,
sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Oh, have mercy. Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil. You want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet, because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. The Jews answered him, aren't we right in saying that you are a Samaritan and demon-possessed? I am not possessed by a demon, said Jesus, but I honor my Father and you dishonor me. I am not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is Jews. He is the Jews. Verily, truly, I tell you, whoever obeys my word will never see death. Lord have mercy. At this they exclaimed, now we know that you are demon-possessed. Abraham died, and so did the prophets. Yet you say that whoever obeys your word will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are? Jesus replied, if I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and obey his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. You are not yet 50 years old, they said to him. You have seen Abraham? Very truly, I tell you, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am. At this, they picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple. As you take your seat, I want to speak to you from a subject. Don't take God for granted. Don't take God for granted. Here on Wednesday, February the 17th, we begin Ash Wednesday, which began the season of Lent. At 40 days before Easter. Six of those days are on Sunday, so it's 46 days between Ash Wednesday and Easter Sunday, or Sunrise Sunday. But we must understand that those 6 days, if you're fasting, and you should be, if you're praying, and you should be, if you're studying, you should be, then on Sunday you can take a break from your fast, because on Sundays we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So on Sunday, it's more like a bonus day. But today is what we call the fifth Sunday in Lent. It's what we call the Passion Tomb Sunday. It's 2 weeks before the Lord Jesus is going to the death of the cross. Across many assemblies of God, today you will find crosses that are marked out or covered up with a purple cloth or some with a black cloth. All paintings and all sculptures and signs that are in sanctuaries all over, they're covered up. Because today we're supposed to be focusing on the Lord himself. We're supposed to be focusing on the passion of the Lord, what it took for him to go to the cross to shed his blood. What it took for him to face death and never died and yet put his hand entrusted into the Father. Yet this Sunday here is a time of hope for God. Time to hear from God, a time to listen to God, and a time to never, like I said, take God for granted. Today is the day for you to take up your cross and follow the Lord. But there are some things and some dangers and familiarity with church that we got to be careful. We get complacent, we get comfortable with holy things. You be very careful when you're around holy things of God. I didn't say statues and men and churches. No, I'm talking about the presence of the Holy God. You ought to be very careful when you come to God to want something from God.
Yeah.
Never get sloppy when you come to God. Always be prayerful when you come to God. First Timothy, if you're writing, I'm just going to give you a few scriptures. I'm not going to hold you long. First Timothy chapter 4, 14 through 16 tells you this. Spend your time in prayer with God. Mm-hmm. Right? Seek God first. Amen. Mm-hmm. Then you can get caught up with the cares of the world. Matthew 13, 22 tells you about different seeds of soils. Amen. Some people get real excited when they hear the word of God, but yet when tribulation of the world comes and trouble comes, they get caught up and it chokes the seed out. Some people get caught up with the cares of the world and they get choked out. Some folks just mean and hateful and got old hard heart and the seed not going to sink in anyway. So don't you try to change them because we can't change them because they can't change them for you. Lord, I wish I had a little bit of help up in there, but I see God sleeping, so I'm going to move on with that one. But then some seed, they say, is not going to fall by the wayside, but some seed catch on good ground. So you can see folk acting crazy. They can't quite get their life together, but they got a seed on the inside of them. Something grandma planted in them. Something mama planted in them. Something a coach planted in them. Something a teacher planted in them. Something a good friend planted in them. And they may be struggling in life trying to get it right, but you better believe that seed, when that seed catch a hold, they're going to stand up. Amen. They're going to stand up. Amen. Bless is the name. Walk not in the counsel of ungodly. Amen. But he's like a tree planted by the rivers of water. One of these days, what you're looking for God to do, don't worry about your age, don't worry about your money. Don't worry. When God puts something in you, when that time comes right, God will bring it to fruition that you're going to eventually do what God wants you to do. So be careful with familiarity and holy things. Don't get sloppy in your prayers. Don't ever refuse not to change, because some folks don't want to change. Never forget not to change. Let me tell you a story that I'm going here. With a woman who they called her the snake lady. And I didn't get it from myself. I got it from reading a couple of sermons, a couple of scriptures. And it was a great theologian. He talks about this story in True Magazine. This great theologian says that his name is John Reed. He's born in 1920, died in 2016. He tells the story of True Magazine in the 1940s of who they called the snake lady. Said the snake lady had 2 12-foot cobras. She had them so trained, this was her thing, Dickie King. She would bring out the cages of the cobras. She would open the cage of the cobra. She would fold her fingers like this, and the cobras would stand up and fold their hoods over. And then she would open her hands and allow them, they would strike each hand, amen. And then she would put them back in the cage. That was amazing, right? But the thing she found out is that a cobra is not like what you call a rattlesnake. A rattlesnake will bite you and put his venom in. A cobra just strike you, but he can't strike you and just kill you like that. He have to bite you. So what he does is he clings to you, and then he begins to chew his venom inside of you, and eventually you would die. So she was doing real good, but y'all know what happened? The True Magazine said, hey, let us see you train a new snake. She had never done that before in all her time. But she conceded, because you know, people will get to you, won't they? So they know all the cameras and all the publicity and all the reporters came, and she was excited about that. So here she did the same routine. She folded her hands, amen. She opened her hands up like that, and the new snake came out. And it said, just when she got ready to do what she normally would do to charm the snake, amen, it said, somebody in the crowd made a comment, and she looked. When she looked for that split second, that young cobra bit her on her finger, clinged to her finger. Y'all know what happened, don't you? Shot venom in her system, and she died in little of no time. I'm trying to tell you, don't get sloppy with sin. Don't get sloppy out here in the world doing what other people are doing, because it's a dangerous thing. Y'all hear me? Don't mess with sin. Don't mess with sickness. Don't mess with anything that contaminates your body, your mind, and take you away from God. Be very careful. Never take God for granted. So here in this text, the Jews meet Jesus. And they said to Jesus that, in other words, who do you think you are? That's basically what they said to him. Now let me explain to you something about Brother John. Brother John, the gospel writer, is the one who loved Jesus. Brother John was in the inner circle of Jesus. Brother John was one of the first disciples that Jesus brought to him to make him a fisher of men. Brother John was one who was of faith of God. Amen. He did the will. will of God. He was in the inner circle on the Mount of Transfiguration. And every time you see in the Bible, you see Peter, you see James, and you see John. Here in John's gospel, John takes this gospel from heaven all the way to the cross. John chapter 1, in the beginning was God, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Amen. In the beginning with God. And then 14, he said he manifested himself. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld him full of grace and full of truth. John chapter 2, everybody like to talk about the wedding and the Cana of Galilee, but they forget about Jesus come and he cleans the temple out. First act he did was he whipped the money changers out of the temple of God because people was taking the house of God for granted. And Jesus said, my house must be a house of prayer, not a den of thieves. So never forget, don't take God's house for granted. Don't take God's people for granted. John chapter 3, Nicodemus wanted to come to Jesus, but he couldn't come, Brother Slam. So what he did was he sent Jesus a secret email, said, I want to meet you, amen. He meets Jesus at night on the Zoom conference, amen. He says, you must be special. You must be from God, because what happened is every time I see you, miracles happen, amen. Jesus said, ain't nothing miraculous. You must be born again, amen. You got to get rid of this old sinful flesh, amen. You must be born of the water, and you must be born of the Spirit. Then he said, if God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the culmination of the gospel. That's what John is really talking about. John chapter 4, Jesus stepped on the scene. Y'all do know, don't you? He got a little tired. He sent the boys on, because sometimes you can't do work with everybody. You got to send some folk on and do the work of the Lord. Amen. So Sister Pearl, you know he met the woman at the well, don't you? He sat down at the well with her, told her about her whole life, and she got all distraught because she thought Jesus was a prophet who was going to tell all her stuff. And she said, you being a Jew, why you sit here with a Samaritan? Jesus said, don't you understand? I'm not a regular preacher. I'm not a regular rabbi. You don't understand who I am yet, amen. She said, I do understand. We worship, amen, up on the mountain. Jesus said, you don't know what you worship. There's going to come a day you're going to understand that it's not about form or fashion. You're going to understand that it's not about singing, preaching, and jumping. It's about him, the Lord, who we honor, worship, and bow to. And we that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. John chapter 5, he told us not to mess with his people. John chapter 5, y'all know some paralyzed man there. Y'all know the story, right? And when he comes on the scene, Jesus asked him, do you want to be made whole? And the people were stepping all over top of him, going to do what they were trying to do. Everybody today called it herd immunity. Herd immunity, everybody running over top of everybody else, trying to get the vaccine, trying to get blessed, trying to get the stimulus, trying to get this, trying to get that. And forget you, we must love people as we love God. And if you don't love people, it proves you don't love God. John chapter 6, he came to what he said to him. He said, not only am I am bread, he said, I am the bread of heaven. Not only am I the bread of heaven, I'm the bread of heaven that came down from heaven. He said, I am that I am. Y'all understand that again? John chapter 7, he goes to a great feast, him Jesus. When he gets to this great feast, sister, you know what he did? He had some water in his hand. He took that water and said, I'm just a symbolic. If you drink this water, you will never thirst again. I'm telling somebody this morning, if you drink the water of this word, you will never be thirsty again. You will never be lonely. You will never be betrayed. God will be in you. You can always reach inside your heart by the power of the Holy Spirit and pour God's word out of you. John chapter 8, this is where we are. 12 confrontations, Jesus get caught up arguing with these devils who's supposed to be religious and political. Let me say that again, it's the same thing we fight now. Supposed to be religious and political, amen. They're fighting against Jesus from John 8:1 all the way to John 8:59. They are arguing with Jesus. But let's put a pin down and let me finish John out, and I'm going to come back and close this thing as best I can. John chapter 9, Jesus sees a blind man who's been blind from birth. Jesus takes this blind man and heals him. He's been around all the churches, all the religious folks, and all this stuff, and nobody attempted to heal him. Jesus healed him. Then the church gets upset and says, wait a minute, what is this that this man has done? Goes to his mom and daddy, said, hey, what happened to this boy? And she said, he old enough, go ask him what happened. When they asked the man, Deacon, you know the story, don't you? He said, I don't know. All I know is I was blind, but now I see. I'm telling somebody today, stop trying to explain when God bless you. Stop trying to explain when God do the miraculous for you. Stop trying to explain. Jesus. He said, I am the good shepherd. Not only am I the good shepherd, he said, but I am the door. He said, my sheep hear my voice. They go back to 8 for a second. Remember, they couldn't hear the voice of the Lord because they was not the sheep of the Lord. Stick a pin in there again. John chapter 11. Jesus goes. He finds out that his good friend Lazarus is sick. When he finds out Lazarus is sick, what happens when we find out somebody died? Don't we try to get a car? Don't we give them a call? Don't we try to go by the house? Don't we take them some potato salad? Don't we do something for them to let them know that we are thinking about them and we are praying for them? But Jesus don't even show up. The Bible said that Jesus waited until Lazarus died. When Jesus finally gets down, Lazarus is in the tomb and he's stinking, amen. And Martha is mad with Jesus and she said, if you had been here, my brother would never have died. Jesus said, you don't understand. This is for the glory of the Lord. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Your brother gonna get up from the grave. And I'm not gonna go there because I'll stay here all day. Y'all know he went to the tomb, don't you? And he cried, amen. He cried. I let out people out in speculation as to why he cried. But you know the world we live in now. I had a man tell me the other day that he wants children. He's in his 30s. His wife is in her late 20s. He said to me, he said, Reverend, he said, I dare not bring a child into this mean, cruel world because I'm looking at what's going on. I said, stop right there. The Lord said to be fruitful and to multiply. I said, how many children there? He said, just me. I said, don't you understand that you are the son with the seed in you and you got to have some children to keep your name going and then you entrust your children to the Lord. Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus got up out the grave, amen. Hopped his way to the grave door. Then Jesus saw everybody standing around. Loose him and let him go because he had on some grave clothes. That's what I'm saying to y'all. Let the folks go. Stop bringing up the past of people. Matter of fact, let yourself go. If God has forgiven you, if God has blessed you, if God has kept you, please this morning, go ahead on and let it go. John chapter 12, Jesus still on fire. Uh-huh. Still doing the things that he wanted to do. Setting them up. He's setting them up. Goes from John 12 to John 13. He washes the disciples' feet. Eat a dinner with them. John 14, let not your heart be troubled. Yeah. You believe in God, believe also in me. In other words, he was telling them, I'm getting ready to leave. Yeah. I don't say this to somebody. A whole lot of people are born, and a whole lot of people die. When somebody died before you die, you got to trust God that it was just their time. Amen. And you go ahead on and live the life that God has put in you to live. John chapter 14, I go to prepare a place for you. That's a promise for somebody. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, that you be also. But that's not all of it. All of it is John 15. He said, I'm the husband, and my father, yeah, the father's the husband. I'm just tending this garden right here until he come back, John 15. He said, if you abide in me, and my word abide in you, you can have whatever you ask. I'm telling somebody, don't take God for granted. Stay in God's word, amen. Stay in God's word. Stay in God's word. John chapter 16 said, I'm sending you a comforter. Holy Spirit, Lord knows we need a comfort today.
Yeah.
We need that Holy Spirit today to comfort, lead, and guide us.
Yeah.
He said, I'm going to leave you, but I'm going to send somebody here to help you, amen, to comfort you and to keep you and to guide you and to lead you. John 17, he said, Father, it's my time. I need you to glorify me, Father. Matter of fact, he said, what I want you to do is bless your children down here on this earth. He said, because we all should be one. That it look like it is now? Yeah. Are we one now? Yeah. We in trouble right now. We in trouble right now. 18 and 19, Jesus on the way to the cross. Y'all know where I'm going. He's on the way to the cross. Make it to the cross, amen. Beaten, whipped, lied on, talked about all these things. But as we get ready to go into this, don't take God for granted.
Yeah.
Don't take it for granted because they were talking to God. Mm-hmm. They was looking for the Messiah to come. A lot of people said Jesus never said he was God. John 17 said, I and the Father are one. Y'all will be all right. He said, I and the Father are one.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to tell you that never take God for granted. Here in this text, you see where Jesus is telling you, they're arguing about, they said, Abraham is our father. That's the first thing they see. And Jesus said to them, if Abraham was your father, you would believe me. Then they went further. They said, no, not only is Abraham our father, they said, God himself is our only father. Jesus said to them, y'all still don't know what y'all talking about, because y'all saying one thing, but y'all living another.
Yeah.
And that'll help somebody right there. They saying one thing, but their fruits are showing them something else. Then they called Jesus the devil. Jesus, no, ain't no devil outside of this self on saying, I'm not a devil, I'm only doing what the Father said. Then they came back and they said, you're not 50 years old. How in the world can you know about Abraham? Abraham died. All the prophets died. You said whoever came to you are never died. Jesus said, y'all still don't understand. I'm getting ready to go. You know that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Yes, he did. That's what he came to do. And as I get ready to go into this thing and give you some idea of what you're seeing in this world today, when you see a pandemic that has killed 500,000 people, when you see that it's getting warm outside and it's hard to wear a mask, amen. I know it is hard, amen. It's hard to wear a mask, it's hard to social distance, it's hard to stay inside, amen, because the show is pretty outside, ain't that right? But don't you be a fool and expose yourself while people are still dying. 200,000 people are still going to the hospital just here in this county, amen, and in this state, and then people are still going to the hospital, and people are still dying. As a matter of fact, some people, the rate of death is going down, but other strands of this COVID is coming, amen, and some other stuff is beginning to happen, amen. Matter of fact, look at the vaccine itself. Nobody knows what the vaccine can really do, amen. It has not been tested. It has not been tried. I'm telling you, go get it. I'm going to get it. I'm going to take two. They get four. I take four, man. But get what you can, amen. But what I'm saying to you is be smart, because you got folks. And I hope somebody listen to me on Facebook. I hope somebody listen. If they don't, y'all go out and tell it to them. Stop listening to folk who tell you that when you get your shot that you don't need your mask on and you can run around and again. No, I just told you there are other strands of this disease that's coming, amen. And you don't know if that vaccine you got is going to protect you from that, so be careful. Now, I said all that to try to link it to this. You got to be careful with sin. See, a little bit of sin, amen, will mess you up. A little bit of sin will destroy your life. And you may not think that it will, but I'm telling you, a little bit of sin will destroy 30 years of good work, 20 years of a good man, 40 years of being in church. It'll destroy you, you understand? It'll take you up out of this world, because that's what the devil does. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, amen. That's what he was trying to do to Jesus in John chapter 8. But I'm telling y'all today, never take God for granted, amen. 2 weeks from now, we're going to celebrate it to be God's will. We're going to celebrate the Lord going next Sunday and the Palm Sunday, where he rolls into Jerusalem, amen. And all the children who know who he was, they said, Hosanna, Hosanna, amen, blessed be the name of the Lord. They knew who he was. And it's funny how people on the outside know who God is, and those of us in here don't know who God is. I'm trying to tell you that you've got to do the will of the Father. Now here it is. You got to be careful, because they're standing there with the Word of God. They're standing there with the Son of God. This is my first point. Never take the Word of God for granted. Because we try to take God's Word and measure it against what somebody else said, trying to figure out if God's Word is true. God's Word was true before you got here. God's Word gonna be true after you leave here. God's Word will never return back to you, boy. God's Word will help you wherever you go. God's Word, never take God's Word for granted. What that word mean, granted? It means necessary. It means you just don't really care, amen. It means you just take it any kind of way and just run all over top of it. But here, as I get ready to go, it tells me that they said to him, that you received from God. That's what you said. You said that you spent time with God. Jesus said, no, I didn't come to glorify myself, but the glory is nothing but the glory of the Father. It said, Abraham rejoiced to see the glory in your day. I'm trying to tell y'all here that some things that we see today that our forefathers and grandparents and great-grandparents would have loved to have seen some stuff that we've seen. Amen. Talking on the phone with a cord on it. They can't walk no far from here to there on the phone in the day. They can take a computer, get in your car, amen, with all the digital stuff on it. Push a button in your car, crank up, amen. Start talking on your phone, amen. You can do it without holding it in your hand, amen. You can do it. And look at all the stuff that God has given us. All the conveniences that God has given you in your home. Never take God for granted. They say to God, he said, oh, I'm glorifying God. He said, you ain't even 50 years old. Jesus said, very truly, I tell you, before Abraham was, I am. And they picked up stones to kill him. I'm going to tell you now that when God starts telling you the truth, you start disliking God. Ain't that right? When you're going places that you ain't got no business going, you really don't like when you're being corrected. Am I right about it? And that's why some folk can't come to the house of God, because they know they're going to hear correction and hear rebuke. Even any instruction and truth is hard to take. That's why we're looking at these children that's on the Zoom. We're trying to get them back in school. That's what y'all talking about this morning. But I don't care whether you got them on Zoom or you got them in school. It doesn't matter. They don't want to hear instruction, because some stuff they already know, and they don't want to keep hearing it over and over again. So y'all will say to me, preacher, why you keep saying this? Because you said it last Sunday. And another preacher said the Sunday before that. And I went on Facebook and listened to another preacher, and another preacher said that. I'm trying to tell you, never take God for granted as I get ready to go away from here. Why should you take God for granted? Because you got up this morning. Never take God for granted that when you got up this morning, your eyes flew open and you were able to get up on your own. Never take God for granted. Never take God for granted that you got food on your table. Never take God for granted that you were able to dress your own self. Never take God for granted when folks were trying to run you down and run you in the ground, and God still kept elevating you right in their face, made your enemies your footstool. Never take it for granted that God is always with you. Never take it for granted that you can preach. Never take it for granted that you can sing. Never take it for granted that you can pray. Never take it for granted that you are still here. Never take it for granted. Don't take your wife for granted, your children for granted, your grandbabies for granted. Never take your church for granted. Take your gifts for granted. Yeah. God is mighty.
Yes,
he is. The Bible says at the end of this, that they picked up stones to stone the Lord. And the Lord hid from them. Mm-hmm. That's significant right here in Lent, because I said I won't go holler at you, but I guess I did. But during Lent, you're supposed to be praying, mm-hmm, 40 days.
Yeah.
You are getting yourself together. I'm not worried about you. I got to be worried about me.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Get my spirit right.
Uh-huh.
Get my mind right.
Mm-hmm.
Get my body back in order. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
And this is the preparation period of Lent.
Yeah.
But now, today, we are focused on the Lord,
mm-hmm,
and what he's doing. So it don't matter where you are. God has already got you.
Yeah.
Don't take it for granted that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord.
Yeah.
I told you, don't take for granted that you're here. Look how many people woke up this morning, mm-hmm, couldn't get out of bed.
Mm-hmm.
Some folk went on the globe this morning.
Yeah.
Some folk woke up like I did one day. You ever woke up and couldn't get up? Your eyes come open, but you can't sit up. Your eyes come open, but you can't talk. Your eyes come open. You think you're at the house, but you're in the hospital. Then you begin to try to shake yourself, and you can't shake yourself. Never take it for granted how good God has been to you. You may not have everything at this time that you want, but take it to heart. Don't take it with a grain of salt. That every resource God gives you, he gives it to you for what you need right now. So you got to ask yourself, if you want more from God, I'm God. If you want more from God today, you got to use what you have right now.
Yes.
And let me say it like this.
Amen.
And you have to use it to help somebody else.
Amen.
Lord have mercy.
Come on.
You got to use it to help somebody else. These rascals in John 8, they was worried about the text. They was worried about the law. They was worried about who was doing what when they wasn't even keeping the law themselves. Jesus said, you missed the whole point. The whole point is to love the Father. The whole point is to love each other. What good would it have done me to get up here this morning? Take Brother Wall, I ain't gonna call you out, but I'm gonna talk about I see you. But I really don't love you like that. I don't have to know you to love you, I'm supposed to love you regardless, because he said so, ain't that right? But for some reason I don't love you, then I get up here and try to do this. No. Tinkling brass, sounding self. 40 days of Lent. Let's stay on, sustain, get your life together. The reason I believe God gave me this sermon, I could have done a better job with it. Somebody is taking God for granted. Never take God for granted. Somebody doing it though. I want to preach to you. Church, Facebook Live, phone line. Don't take God for granted. It's going to get better. Y'all know I was going with it, right? Whatever you're going through, it's going to get better. It's going to get better. I ain't going to leave you like this, because y'all look at you saying, put your hands together and say, it's going to get better. It's going to get better. Everybody saying it's not going to get better. Yes, it is. My God can overcome anything.
Yeah.
It's going to get better. When he get ready to move some devils out the way, he's going to move them devils out the way, and it's going to get better.
Yes.
Keep on taking care of you. Keep loving the Lord. Keep loving your neighbor. Keep loving each other. Keep doing it right.
Yes.
Say it one more time and I'm going. Don't take God for granted.
Yes.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray now. God, I know I didn't do this message justice. But there's somebody that you are speaking to, God, even if it's me, to never take you for granted. Thank you, God, for loving us. Thank you, God, for protecting us. Thank you, God, for keeping us. Thank you so much, Lord, for him, Jesus Christ, and the blood of Jesus who cleanse us from all sin and all unrighteousness. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that fills us, that walks with us, that talks with us. Thank you, God, for that sweet Holy Spirit that gives us direction. Thank you, God, for forgiveness of sin. Thank you, God, for giving us direction and focus as we walk by faith in this mean world and not by sight. Help us, God, to be able to follow all protocols and all rules to make it safe for our brothers and sisters. All the injustices of people, no matter what their color or their creed. God, you are looking at how we treat each other. So, Father, what we're going to do today in Archer's Road, we're not going to take you for granted. We're going to love our brothers and our sisters. And we're going to treat our neighbors right. No matter what they have or what they don't have, God, we're going to love them just like you said. And even, we ask you to give us strength to even pray and love our enemies. And that will also give us strength. Because when we please you, Lord, the Bible says that you will make our enemies be at peace with us. God, we ask you now that you will bless those under the sound of our voice. Don't know what they're going through, God. Don't know how their homes are standing. Don't know the sicknesses. Don't know the financial situation, God. I don't know. But, Lord, you know. You know, Lord. You promised us that you can do all things through you who strengthen us. As you continue to bless not only this church, but every church. Thank you, God, for the deacons of this church, trustees of this church, missionaries of this church, ushers of this church, praise team, choirs of this church, musicians of this church, members of this church, ministers of this church. Thank you, God, for allowing us to stand on the shoulders of some giants in the gospel and to be here to speak your word and to live your word. Now, God, we get ready to leave this place, but never from your presence. never taking you for granted, God. Thank you for everything that you've done. Everything we have and everything we are and everything we're not, God. We thank you for that. As we get ready to leave, God, my prayer for your people is this. That the love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, will rest, rule, and abide henceforth now and forevermore. Let the faithful of God say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Look at somebody and say, neighbor.